I'm just encouraged that God still speaks to us today. Amen. God still ministers to us today. God still gives us the gifts of the Spirit. God still activates the gifts in people. And it's not for our glory. It's for God's glory. God wants to set us free. Amen. Amen. See ya. Well, God loves you so much. And I am glad that you're here. Are you glad to be at church this morning? It might be cold out there, but the fire is hot in here. Amen. God's word says, two or three are gathered in my name, he will be in the midst of us. We have many more than three. Amen. I want to ask you a question before we start today. I used to say it all the time, but did you have church before church? Right? So many people spiritually starving, and they eat once a week. And that's not okay. Can you imagine the only time that you ate was Sunday morning breakfast? Seriously, what would you look like? What would you feel like? How would you survive all week? Well, that's what we do spiritually far too often. Eat the bread of life. Read God's word. Dig in deep. Drink. Jesus said he's the living water. Ask Jesus, the Spirit of God, what to do, how to lead you, where to go. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you completely, right? Fill you. We got to eat supernaturally. Amen. Have church before church. You should come in here and say, oh, man, that is exactly what God was saying to me all week long. This is just another confirmation of what God is saying, right? Amen. See, have you ever had that happen where I preach something maybe on Sunday morning or a pastor has preached something that you've been at a church before and you're like, that is what God was saying. If that's you, raise your hand. Amen. See, come on now. Y'all having church before church. Okay? We got to say it like this. Y'all having church before church. Yeah, look, a little more gritty. This sounds better and just a little more. Y'all got to have church before church. Amen. I love God. You love God? 2019. Here we are. I believe. I don't know what y'all believe, but I believe it's going to be an amazing year. Do you believe it will be an amazing year? Yes. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we get what we ask for. Sometimes we get what we ask for, right? I'm just going to keep flowing. Why did Jesus ask most of the disciples, except his three, to go with him in certain areas to heal people, set people free? Because sometimes we get what we ask for. No room for doubters in the kingdom of God. You are faith-activated, faith-believing, faith talking, faith walking kind of person, guess what? You're going to get what you ask for. But if you constantly have doubts, or you come to church and say, yeah, this is me, and then Sunday night comes or Monday morning comes and you're completely opposite, who are you? You cannot be divided. Cannot be divided. You must be full of faith. Amen? Believe more than just in church or around people. It's good to get fed, right? This is why we come. We come to get equipped. That's what God's word says my job is, to equip the saints, fivefold ministry, to what? Do the works of the ministry. This is my job today. I want to do as best as I can and what God has told me to equip you. But your job, just as much as mine is, because I'm also a believer, is to go into the world and preach the good news, to set the captive free. Amen? To go and see God do miracles and be a part of it. We need to have faith. Sometimes we get what we ask for, but I'm believing that this year is going to be an amazing year. It's going to be a breakthrough in discipleship. A breakthrough in discipleship. We are growing in discipleship. That's our second G in our 3G method here, a vision for our church at First Open Bible. This is a year of new things with the Lord. Isaiah 43:19 says, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. It happened. Amen. It's already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. We reap what we sow. And life is just tough and hard. Well, what are you sowing? Get what you ask for. you reap what you sow. God is asking us this year to sow into prayer. Sow into prayer. Prayer is vital. Can you, anybody married in here, can you imagine never talking to your spouse? Tell me how that relationship is going. Why do you think it's any different with God? It's not. And in God's word, it should be more important. Spouse is number two, God is number one. Sow into lives around you. We must sow into the people around us. It's so important. How? Ask God. He'll tell you. So many avenues. And sow into discipleship. So this is what effective discipleship is. It's Jesus' discipleship, right? It's discipleship and it's evangelism together. That is how Jesus did it. To seek and to save which is lost. Our job is to seek. His job is to save. Amen? Can you imagine the church never seeking one person ever? What would happen? I'll tell you, the church would die in one generation. How many times in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament does it say, pass down the things you've learned from generation to generation. Pour out into generation and generation. Look at the children and pour out what you've learned. And that's why anybody over the age of 60 today, let me tell you, you might think that your ministry is done or you don't have a job or what to do. Listen, you are ministry. Your job is to pour out. There's a group of young kids right there. There's me. There's a whole bunch of other people that, you know what? I didn't face the things you faced. I don't know the experiences you have. Man, I don't know about you, but I like getting testimonies more than hate mail, all right? Everybody can use a testimony. Anybody who's loved Jesus longer than a day has a testimony, right? You are ministry. Start pouring out. Your job is to pour out. Pour out, pour out. It is discipleship. We are going to disciple both Christians and non-Christians. It is friendship. It is relationship. It is exactly what Jesus did. Be in the world, but not of it. Right? Don't go bar hopping with your buddies. You don't look any different than them. You must look different, but you must love them where they're at. You understand? It's exactly what Jesus did. Go into the marketplace. Go into the world and preach the good news. Well, if you're not in the world or around worldly people, you're just preaching to the club that already knows, right? Another way to say it is you're preaching to the choir. Ah! You know what I'm saying? We know it. We'll say hallelujah. But guess what? That's not our main job. Discipleship. Everything we do in life is one part strategy and one part miracle. One part strategy, one part miracle. Here's God's strategy. Matthew. Right? People name Matthew in here go, what? Yeah, now you're listening. Your book says, not your book, but Matthew 28 says in 19 and 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you. Teach these new, catch that word, new, right? Catch these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. God will never leave us. We need him. We need the Spirit of God every single day of every hour of every breath. If we do this commission, not a suggestion, we do this commission, God will do the miracle. God will do the miracle. First Open Bible, our strategy in 2019 is to disciple one Christian and what? One non-Christian. I'm going to pound this because it's so important. We don't get it. And many people haven't been here the last couple weeks. That's why I'm recapping. One, because of the white demon, man. Winter is here. I'm glad it came in January. I'm going to be thankful about that, right? We didn't have it in November, December, even October. Praise God in the highest, right? It's in January, and that's all right. I'm going to take what I get. God knows best. He's sovereign. I am not. But the white demon, you can go whenever you want. Send it on up. Minnesota, enjoy. But our strategy is to disciple one Christian, one non-Christian. Also to pray by name, 10 people that you know in your life that need Jesus. 10 people, right? I don't know about you, but I have it in my office, and I'm reading, and I have 10 people, and I could add a whole bunch, but there's 10 specific people in my life right now that I want to pray for. And I just start going down a list. I don't even get to number 3 before I just start weeping. Because they must know Jesus. They must know Jesus. And I have to ask at the end by name each person, and then I ask God, what can I do? What do you want me to do? Sometimes he just says, keep praying, but sometimes... Or there's going to be a time he's going to give me an opportunity to do what he says. And that's when we step in with our strategy and God does the miracle. So when we pray for these 10 people, God will do miracles. Will you please open your Bible to Mark chapter 1. So here's the heart of discipleship. It's the love and the care for other people. The heart of discipleship is the love and care for other people. It is wanting to lead people closer to Jesus. That's our job. Even if they don't know Jesus at all, or turn their back against Jesus, or want nothing to do with him, our job is just to lead them closer. It is wanting people to be set free and healed by Jesus. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 40, says this. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. He said, if you are willing, will you heal me and make me clean? And it says this, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priests and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone. Ooh, man, God just gave this to me. A lot of times God tells us to do something, we take it in our own hands, and then what happens? We end up hurting Jesus. Check it out. But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone exactly what Jesus told him not to do that had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. That did not help Jesus. Jesus knew what would happen, so he told him what to do. How many times do we take in our own hands what Jesus is saying and we do it on our own? See, that's why it's so important to pray, to read God's word, to be in his will. But I want to highlight this first. Verses 41 and 42 says this. Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So today is a joyous occasion here at First Open Bible. Today we celebrate the commissioning of our new Stephen ministers. Through them, our congregation and our community will discover a new level of caregiving, a level of compassionate discipleship. Through the guidance of the Stephen leaders, these Stephen ministers will bring compassion and support of the Lord to the people in pain and grief, trusting always that their Lord himself will provide a cure, just like he did 2,000 years ago to that leper. Jesus is the cure. Amen? You know what Jesus is really good at? He's everything, you're right. Except sinning, he's not good at that. Right? Or lying, I guess. Good at all good things. But what he's really good at this is looking past our appearances and looking past our flaws and seeing our true self. He's good at that. He sees our potential. He sees our hearts. He sees the better in us. When we draw closer to him, those things start to blossom and shape us. See, I don't know how you came to Christ. It could be fire and brimstone. Somebody preaching, hell's a hot place and it's real. And if you don't accept Christ, you're going there. That's truth. But what always draws you to Jesus is the love. It's the love. Sometimes in life, church, we need someone to care for us just the same way Jesus did. Someone to accept us and love us and be moved with compassion like Christ was. To love us where we're at and love us enough that he doesn't want us to be there any longer. See, these kind of things will change lives and draw people closer to God. True human concern and genuine love is what we celebrate today. Just like in the passage we read in Mark chapter 1 about Jesus reaching out and touching a leper and healing him. See, Jesus did a lot of stuff with touch. He also held little children, like I talked about this morning, in his arms. He touched Peter's sick mother-in-law. He touched a dead girl, a deaf man, a demon-possessed boy, and a blind man, right? Healed in my name, right? That's what Jesus did. It is Jesus' style. This is his style. To touch people, no matter what their condition is, and no matter what other people think about them. Jesus is a hands-on person. We are called to be the exact same. We do these things in God's name. See, this is sad but true. The world's not looking to read the Bible anymore. If you're above the age of 40, that was a standard in your life. Maybe the age of 50 and above. But anybody below that, we've removed it from city halls. We've removed it from schools. We've removed it from public buildings. And I grew up, I'll be 37 in March, and I grew up with no prayers in schools. I don't remember 10 commandments anywhere to be read. This is where we grew up. See, this is sad but true. But you know what the world is looking for? To see the Bible in skin form. It is time, church, to be the Bible in the flesh. See, proclamations are so much more powerful with a demonstration. Anybody Pentecostal here says amen, because we love that. We love that. Sometimes your proclamations in itself are actually the physical demonstration. The demonstration itself is a proclamation. It's not always about eloquent words. That's what Paul says. It's about the demonstration of power. Woo! God's power. It's real. Simply put, we must show Christ to people. We must do and sometimes say. We are called to be moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. See, these six new Stephen ministers are excited to represent Jesus to so many who are in grief or walking through some sort of difficulty. This morning, we will commission them to go. Just like Jesus said, go. I'm going to commission them to go. We rejoice in advance with the people they will touch through the caring and compassionate services. We believe that God has ordained this service right now for them. We confirm their calling with our prayers. So in the Old Testament, ordained, this is what the word ordained means. Everybody put your hands out in front of you like this, like you're going to hold something. Ordained means to fill their hands. Fill their hands. So today, we want to help fill their hands with something to do. Like the Lord they follow, these six ministers dedicate their hands to God's service. May the Lord ordain them and give them plenty to do that will occupy their hands and their time and their hearts. Six people from our congregation here are being commissioned to a special ministry of care and concern for others. That's what a Stephen's minister does. Looking to people and helping lead them through something. See, today we recognize the extensive training and preparation of this care ministry through these six amazing lay leaders. So for 20 weeks, our new Stephen's ministers have been preparing, planning, and praying. So they did an initial 50 hours of training and that's over. But twice a month, they do continuous training. This is a huge sacrifice in their life. They take time away from their family, from events in their life, other activities that they're doing, and every week they have homework, right? Y'all remember homework, right? I'm gonna tell you, you guys remember homework. Y'all better remember homework. Don't you shake your head. You're grounded. Grounded until your homework's done. You don't get homework? I'm gonna talk to your teacher. Give me the number. That ain't cool. See, they do homework every week. It's a serious dedication that they've committed. This caring ministry was led by a wonderful woman of God, Miss Carolyn Wagner. She is our Stephen Minister Leader. Woo! I heard a woo. Someone got a fan over there. Woo! Come on. Amen. So she attended a 5-hour week. It's called the Stephen, or sorry, 5-hour. Ooh, it was intense. Mike. She didn't know what to do with all that free time. 50-hour week-long training course. It's called the Stephen Series Leaders Training Course. She went to St. Louis back in April. And our newest leader we'll be bringing on with Miss Carolyn is Miss Bobby Rose. She will be a Stephen Minister co-leader. She will start her 50, not 5, okay? You got to up it from Miss Carolyn, all right? 50 week-long training course coming this April. Then she will be completed and be able to be a co-leader. Our new Stephen ministers have studied and practiced skills in such areas as dealing with feelings, crisis intervention, asserting oneself with gentleness and firmness, and numerous other topics to be prepared to help people who are experiencing problems, issues, or pain in their life. After today's commissioning service, these Stephen ministers will be assigned to minister in our congregation and in our community. They will be working with people who are experiencing such life crisis or life events such as these things: hospitalization, retirement. You like retirement? There's so many people that retire and have put their self-worth in their job that they lose themselves after they retire. Here's another thing too. A lot of people who are empty nesters put all their efforts in their children and not the most important thing, which is their marriage. And when their kids leave, they don't even know who that person is that live with them anymore. See, we need help in these areas. Retirement, financial setback, loss of a loved one, or any number of difficulties people face in daily living and or major changes in a life. Miss Sherry, will you come up, please? She's going to come up and join me. She has some certificates. So she's going to call out your name. And when she calls out your name, Stephen Minister, will you come up and join me on my right-hand side, please? And we'll hold all applause to the end.
John Reisner.
Come on up.
Marilee Reisner. Pamela Slayton. Vicky Cornwell. Deborah Stiles. Sarah Asher. Carolyn Wagner. And Bobby Rose.
Will you please give them a giant hand clap, please? Will you help me hand these out? I'm going to say something to them. That is John. It goes down the list. Miss Sherry's going to hand you a certificate, but I want to say a few things. See, we thank God for their gifts of caring and listening. Their ministry will increase greatly our overall ministry here at First Open Bible. Please keep these people, as you see right here, in your prayers. They will carry the love of Christ to their caregivers. Amen. Will you pray for them this week and every time you think of them? Awesome. So I've asked two people It's going to be Mr. John Reasoner and Miss Pam Slayton are going to come up, and they're going to share some things on their hearts, and then I'm going to say something else, and then we're going to do something amazing. John, will you please come up and share your heart with us?
Thank you, Pastor Harris. We were asked to talk a little bit about what Stephen Ministry means to us, and ditto on what Pastor Harris just said.
That's good.
Yeah. And so it's an opportunity to come alongside somebody that's been, is going through hard times or has been through hard times and needs a friend, needs someone to talk to, someone to pray with, someone to talk with about the Word of God. And so we're just really happy, I would say thrilled, to be at this place today. And, you know, one of the things we learn and we're taught is to affirm others in the training. And so I just like to affirm Carolyn down there. She taught us, she worked hard, she went through that training that Pastor Harris talked about, and she did some hard work on PowerPoint presentations, some really neat stuff. And so I know all of us here really appreciated that, and she's a really excellent teacher. So but we're looking forward to moving forward in this ministry, and we appreciate so much the pastors, our elders, and the church being behind us in this, because we want to be used by God to help people through hard times.
Amen. Thank you, John. Ms. Pam?
Well, I wrote mine out. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep." Stephen Ministry is an example of God's hand extended, a wounded healer. Being part of the Stephen Ministry has been a transforming journey to become a distinctively Christian caregiver. We have learned how to focus on the process of caring and then leave the results up to God. I wanted to be effective for the kingdom and have God use me to help lighten the load that our pastor carries each and every day. He needs people to come alongside him and minister to those who need a little extra help coping with life. Matthew 10:42 says, "And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." The longer I live, the more I realize that everyone has a story to tell. Life is not easy. Sometimes something extraordinary happens to us or to a loved one where we need someone to come alongside us to help us through a difficult time. When my husband had an accident at work, life totally changed for us. We took a 14-year journey down a road we never expected to take. It was a life filled with pain, sickness, and disappointments. I went through a very dark valley and would have loved to have had a Stephen minister. However, now that I have survived that dark time in my life, I can truly empathize with someone else who is suffering. God gives us all special gifts and talents. One way to use those giftings is to be a Stephen minister. When we are assigned a care receiver, we create a safe place where they can feel comfortable to tell their story. We offer encouragement and understanding. We are here to bear one another's burdens. We are trained to provide the best possible care by focusing on their needs with unconditional acceptance, and we share God's unconditional love. Confidentiality is key to being a trustworthy caregiver. We want the care receiver to experience healing, to make positive adjustments, and grow in their relationship with Jesus. It is a privilege to be an extension of God's love. We are the caregiver, but God is the cure giver. Healing is God's doing, and His care is sufficient.
Amen. So now I want to personally thank each one of you for your dedication, your hearts, and your hard work. This is not going to be an easy ministry to walk through at times. Never is. But nothing powerful and effective in this life comes easy. You are personally helping me minister to this flock. I thank you for that. I do. I love each one of you. Thank you for your dedication. Before I fall apart, I'm going to ask the elders, will you please come join me? We're going to pray over these Stephen ministers as we commission them to go. See, God's word in 2 Timothy says this. Look at that. Here comes Timothy right now. In his second book, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through on the laying of my hands. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to lay hands on them and pray for them. Stephen ministers, will you make a little holy huddle right here? We're going to surround you and put our hands around you and on you. Make sure everybody's getting touched, please. I'll pray over you. We just thank you. Father, we come to you right now. We thank you for this ministry. God, we thank you in advance the freedom that will come when it says we bear one another's burdens. God, thank you that it's not just somebody off the street, but they have taken, they've asked the Lord, Lord, what would you like me to do? How can I minister in what you're doing? And each of them heard your voice and said that Stephen ministry is very important and they would be a part of that. And God, I ask that right now, the gift that is in them, the gift of compassion, the gift of helping God heal them, the gift of reaching out, the gift of love and mercy and firmness and strength, the gift of speaking truth in love, the gift that is going to help. God, I'm reminded that you keep telling me that we have a strategy and you bring a miracle. Here is another strategy, God, that you've given us. May you bring the miracles and the freedom in Jesus' name. God, we thank you right now. And it says in your word, if we lay hands, God, that you will stir up the gift in them. I pray that right now, Holy Spirit, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet all the way out to their fingertips, may they feel the anointing and the power of God right now. Fire God, may you burn out anything that the enemy would want to get a hold of. Would you burn out any insecurities, any things that the enemy would like to try to lie to them about, any troubles that are going to come their way? God, I know that your fire is an all-consuming fire. May you burn all that right now, God. We ask for a path. It says in your word, like we've been reading, you're making a new path. God, you're doing a new way, a new thing. And I thank you for this ministry. And as they go today, God, I ask for all the people that will be ministered, the care receivers. God, I ask that their hearts be open. Lord, I ask that their hearts receive. And I ask that they do not believe the lies of the enemy and they are able to come. And Lord, I pray for a supernatural, I pray for the gifts of the Spirit right now. They need knowledge and wisdom. They need knowledge and wisdom, the gifts, two gifts of the nine that you've given us. Lord, and I know that it says in your word, you freely give those as you want, but God, I'm asking, because it says in your word, if we ask, then we can receive, and we don't receive if we don't ask, but I'm asking right now, God, may you give them knowledge and wisdom. May they sit across from somebody maybe at a meal or a time together over coffee or over the phone, and may you drop something in their spirit to speak the truth. And love, something right out that God knows that those people that are receiving the ministry, God knows, or you will know that God knows what they're going through. God, we love you. We believe in you. We have faith to believe your word is true. And I pray as they go today, God, that you go with them. We love you. And we worship you. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen, amen. Amen. Will you give them a hand as they go back to the seats? Thank you, elders. Thank you. Thank you, elders. Appreciate it. These are exciting times, church. Amen? One person thinks it's exciting. I heard it over here. It's Brother Bob. He's excited. These are exciting times, church. Amen. These are exciting times. God is on the move. We got to join him. You might say, oh man, that's great. That's awesome. Well, God gave me this word for everyone as I close. A worship team, will you please come up? Everybody else, pretend the worship team is not coming up. Every time it was like, my goodness, it's like the same people last week. I know. They're just moving. All right, it's all right. We can keep rolling. All Christians. Can you say all? All Christians are ministers of Christ. This special service, which was dedicated to our Stephen ministers and our leaders, to some degree includes us all. Everywhere around us, people await our touch. People await our friendship, our love, and our compassion. People await the truth of God if they know it or not. People are awaiting disciple makers. Being Christ's hands is not just about Stephen ministers. It is for everyone. When we realize that, and when we do that, others will be changed, and we ourselves will be changed. So what does the touch of God do? That, I don't have enough sermons to tell you exactly what that does, but this is what I can tell you. The touch of God attacks disease, breaks down social division, crumbles down the racial walls, mends broken hearts, and frees everyone from their chains. That's what the touch of God does. Church, the world we live in is full of people who await our faith and our love. Listen to the news all you want. Be discouraged all you want. All that is people waiting to hear the truth. You realize that? The world is looking for an answer. The world is looking for a cure. The world is looking for something to satisfy them. They're looking for the Bible with skin on. They're looking for people like Stephen ministers, ones that follow Jesus by being like Jesus. Believers, ambassadors, Christians that act in service to others, moved with compassion and minister to others around them. Ones that will serve God not only with their mouths, but also with their hands. Amen? So as we close, who is willing to pay the price for love? Please don't let that just be another line out of my mouth. Who is willing to pay price for love? Who is willing to care for others for God's sake? Who is ready to follow Christ and lead others to a complete life that God created us for all to experience? John 10:10, the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus, I came to give you life to the fullest, or life, an abundant life. Who is ready to disciple the world around them with compassion? Who's ready? Who's ready? Who's ready? See a hand? Who's ready? See some more hands. Who's ready? Amen. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. God gave me that word this morning, and I was like, okay, this is it. Here's the water. Living water. Who's ready, church? Who's ready? Saints, it's time to pray right now. Let's pray. Ask God. Ask God what you can do. Ask Him what you can do. Who's ready to sacrifice for love? Jesus, He came for one major reason, to die, to live again, but in His death, He took stripes, He took nails, He took the cross, He fulfilled so many prophecies, He became our Savior, our Redeemer, our Messiah, He took back the keys of hell and death. Says whoever believes and confesses with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and He was raised from the dead, we shall be saved. But you cannot get stuck on that. That is just the beginning of the most amazing thing of your life. It is an adventure that no one or nothing will ever satisfy you with. It is the most amazing adventure to follow Jesus. God told me this a long time ago. He put this in my mouth. He said, God, you gave all your life, so I will just give you the rest of mine. I can't give you my past because I didn't know you, but now that I know you, I want to give you the rest of me. I am willing. I am ready to sacrifice my life for love. I'm ready to pour out my life for the lost. I'm ready to follow Him in any which way that He wants. I don't want to be selfish. Who am I, God, that you would love me? Who am I, God, that you would give me such a sacrifice? And guess what He says? You are my son. You are my son, and I have a plan and a purpose for your life. And it is not for you and your glory. It's for my glory. And God is calling each and every person in here today to drink from the living water. Drink from the living water. Sacrifice your life for the love of God and for the love of other people, to pour out your life for discipleship, for the lost and dying and broken world. That is what God wants us all to do. And whatever which way that He wants, He will use you. It doesn't matter your personality. It doesn't matter your background. You will not look like the next person, but you must look like Jesus Christ. You must look like Him. You must be the hands and feet of the Spirit of God. You must go out into the world. We must disciple. So who? Who will follow me as I follow Christ? Who will follow me? See that? There you go. There you go. There you go. Who? Who will do it? Who will go? Amen. Who will go? Amen. Who will go? Amen. Who will go? Lord, see us right now, God. Our hearts are in it. May you pave a path with fire right now, God. May you move in the way that only you can move. I ask that right now the anointing of God fall upon them as they have dedicated their lives to go and to preach the good news, to pour out their love and life to people that need it. God, give us divine appointments. Give us a heart that needs to be mended, God. Fill us completely to overflowing. Right now, I thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If people have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, right now, receive your spiritual language. Pour out. May you just talk with other tongues. May you be filled with the fire of God. May, just like in the book of Acts, when the 120 were here, we have more than 120. May you fill this place with glory, God. May you fill it. May you commission us to go. May you send us where we are needed. May you do the things that only you can do right now, right now, right now. Will you lower the lights, please? Brent, be led by the Spirit. Pick a song, even if it's not on your list, whatever you say that God is saying. So here we are. It's the end. The end of our service, but not the end of all things that God is doing. If that's you today, ask God what you can do. Pour it out to Him. Pour it out to Him. Don't leave until He gives you an answer. Don't go. Trust me, we can afford the light bill if it needs to stay on for a while. It's all right. You can stay. The most important thing is you get a word from God. You get a touch from Him. You get to experience His presence. If you have to stay, stay. If you must go, go. But if you go, don't you leave unless God says something to you, because you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. God, we thank You for this service. We worship You. We praise You. God, there are all kinds of people here this morning that are willing and ready and able. And God, may You just send us and commission us as we go. God, may we pour out love. May You be the example that we follow, not this world, not even a denomination, not even a church, but Your word and Your example of what Jesus did. May we follow after that. May we not follow after a guy or a person or a new movement of the Spirit or whatever. May we just follow You and all that You're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.